W252DR Oshkosh and WGBW1590AM Denmark, W250CV Green Bay.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Just in case you never had advice on going out into a dust storm, some from this person needing to go to work, wrapping her head and putting on big sunglasses because of the dust storm outside. El Paso, Texas forecaster for KVIA-TV, Katie Frazier.
If you're out on the road, we tell people if you get into a thick pocket of dust, just pull off the road. Don't drive through it if you can't see very far in front of yourself.
The storm that dumped rain and snow in California yesterday heads to Michigan with more ice. 4 days after the last big ice storm, where utility crews are still working to fix many thousands of outages. After complaints and a suspension, the EPA is now in charge, and tomorrow removal and shipping of toxic waste from the Ohio chemical tanker train wreck will resume. Regional EPA Chief Deborah Shore.
There have been no exceedances for residential air quality standards, and outdoor air quality remains normal.
This is ABC News. Lithium-ion batteries used to power electric bikes and scooters have already sparked over 20 fires, caused over 30 injuries this year in New York City. A big increase over last year, city officials working with federal regulators on it. This neighborhood's no longer quiet.
Israel says a Palestinian man has shot and killed two young Jewish settlers at a checkpoint in the West Bank. The attack happened close to the city of Nablus, where just last week the Israeli Defense Forces carried out their largest operation this year so far, targeting three militants and killing 11 Palestinians.
ABC's Jordana Miller in Jerusalem. What indication is there that more companies want to casually date, let alone embrace this idea?
Is it time to embrace the four-day work week? A trial in Britain that was billed as the world's largest found most employees are less stressed out and burned out when they work 4 days, and they have a better work-life balance. They were also just as or more productive in many cases.
ABC's Daria Albinger. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
You're listening to a Civic Media radio station. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us.
This is Civic Media for the Fox Valley.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Nat Nair. Here's what you need to know. After a quiet weekend of weather across the state, another winter storm is bringing rain, ice, and snow. Central and southeastern Wisconsin could see as much as 1.5 inches of rain over the course of the day, and with much of the ground still frozen, that makes it tougher for rain to seep into the ground or find storm drains. This could cause minor flooding in some areas, as well as water backing up into basements. Lower temperatures across the central part of Wisconsin could cause freezing rain that might impact travel and cause power outages. The northern counties with the potential to see 2 to 6 inches of snow and some ice during today's storm. A 56-year-old Pewaukee man who died recently while hiking in Grand Canyon National Park was a retired Waukesha County Sheriff's deputy. Scott McDonald was found unresponsive along a trail on February 17th. He was pronounced dead by National Park Service search and rescue personnel. I'm Jane Matt Mayer. This is Civic Media News.
The Civic Media team would like to say congratulations. More than 200 Wisconsin businesses and nonprofits are receiving a free advertising campaign through our one-day $1 million advertising giveaway. If you missed out, our local sales team would still love to help you with your own campaign. Go to civicmedia.us and click on the sponsorship tab. Again, civicmedia.us and sponsorship. New and still growing, advertise today with a Civic Media network of radio stations.
Up North News Radio is Wisconsin's new choice for progressive talk about important state issues, from the team that brings you the news through social media, newsletters, and here on the radio. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Join me weekday mornings from 6 to 8 a.m.
I'm 54, so basically, it's too late to start saving for retirement, right?
Not right. Starting to save, even in your 50s, can really make a difference.
Well, right now, saving seems hard to wrap my head around. Plus, with the way this year's been going...
Hey, listen, it's okay. You still got this. Just go to aceyourretirement.org. It's an online tool from AARP that can help you get your retirement savings on track no matter your age. It's free and only takes about 3 minutes.
I like 3 minutes.
Yeah, at aceyourretirement.org, you'll chat with Avo, the friendly digital retirement coach. Just answer a few questions and you'll get a personalized plan and tips to help boost your retirement savings.
tips that are easy to understand and tailored to your lifestyle.
I like that too.
Plus, it's sponsored by AARP, so you know they got your back. Just head to aceyourretirement.org and make your plan to start saving for retirement.
Thanks.
That's aceyourretirement.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Mama, what does the chicken say? Dog. Cat. Giraffe.
Giraffe, really?
Giraffe.
You're not going to get it all right. Just make sure you nail the big stuff, like making sure your kids are buckled correctly in the right seat for their age and size. Get it right.
Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Here's today's STEM tip. Don't throw out that old plastic bottle. Repurpose it by turning it into an awesome terrarium. Just fill it with sand, pebbles, soil, and your favorite plant. It'll grow sealed right in its own ecosystem. Learn more at SheCanSTEM. A message from the Ad Council.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
The Earl Ingram Show is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy!
Back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My. It's amazing. Paul Ryan, the former Speaker of the House, you know, the first 2 years of Donald Trump's time in as the president of the United States, he and Paul Ryan were inseparable. And something happened, you know, and, you know, I kind of know what it was, and I'm sure others know what it was. You know, Paul Ryan was the kind of guy who was, without question, one of the most admired Republican conservatives in the nation by conservatives prior to Donald Trump becoming president of the United States. Paul Ryan, even though, you know, very bright guy who clearly followed a plan of conservatism that had been pretty successful. And that's kind of, you know, who he was and who he is. And so he sacrificed all of that because Donald Trump became the president of the United States, even though I don't think Paul Ryan ever would have believed that he could defeat Jeb Bush. And Paul Ryan had pretty much followed that conservative mantra that had been around for decades. And then Donald Trump came into vogue. And for those 2 years, Paul Ryan basically bit his tongue and was willing to fall on the sword for the Republican Party and supported Donald Trump, even in Donald Trump's folly. Well, Paul Ryan realized that, you know, giving yourself up for a lunatic wasn't the smartest move he ever made in his career. And one of the reasons why Paul Ryan left was because of Donald Trump and what Donald Trump represented for the Republican Party. So Paul Ryan has clearly, I mean, to say that if Donald Trump becomes the president of the United States, I mean, the nominee for the Republican Party, I'm not going to support him. That's not going to happen. Clearly is a, you know, kind of an unheard of thing. And it just goes to show that there's something deeper behind what has happened between Donald Trump and Paul Ryan. Well, we do know that Donald Trump did what he always does when there's somebody who doesn't agree with him, and he really started belittling Paul Ryan in the last 2 years of his presidency. And Paul Ryan basically walked away. His political career, he had enough. His excuse was that he wanted to go back and spend time with his family. But I don't think that would have ever occurred if Donald Trump hadn't been attacking Paul Ryan the way he had attacked him. I think there's something to be said by a man of a Paul Ryan stature to say that if this man becomes the nominee, I'm not supporting him. And to me, that's kind of an amazing thing. You don't ever expect to see that or hear that from candidates, not candidates because he's no longer there, but men of the stature of Paul Ryan, the former speaker. Now, he's not the only one. There clearly are going to be some things that are going on that are going to create some animosity, because Paul Ryan, I think, would probably and could probably come back into politics, but he's certainly not going to do it as long as Donald Trump is on the horizon. Well, let's do this. It's Monday. That means Mondays with my co-host, none other than Sandy Williams. Hey, Sandy, how you doing, sir?
Yeah, the late Sandy Williams.
No.
It was raining it's mad. Holy cow, the traffic.
You know, you can't be the late Sandy Williams and you're still speaking.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I got that wrong.
Yeah, you were a little bit tardy, but you're not tardy. The late Sandy
that's right.
Williams.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay, we'll go ahead. Blue slip.
Yeah, how you doing?
Detention. I'm doing all right. Doing fine.
Let me ask you, Sandy. Paul Ryan and what he said, that rift is really deep. That Paul Ryan doesn't appear to be the kind of guy that would ever hold grudges, but Donald Trump really got under his skin, didn't he?
Well, and I suspect to some extent he has a bit of a guilt complex about it. He spent 2 years
that he supported him.
Carrying water for right. him and making being an apologist for him until it just got beyond the ken for him and he had to back off. You know, I never agreed with Paul Ryan's politics particularly, but I do think he's a principled
guy.
And I think he's displayed the fact that he's a principled guy. And God willing, if the politics gets back to a norm and we get rid of Trumpism and get back to civilized politics, we'll see people like Paul Ryan on the other side of the aisle being leaders. So here the guy was the vice presidential candidate. I mean, he had a lot of wind in his sails in terms of political momentum, and all of it destroyed by the Trump movement and the Republican Party because he wasn't willing to basically derange. You know, he kind of stuck to his guns, terms of the principles he stood for. And the fact is that the Trump version of Republican politics is kind of unprincipled. I mean, it runs the whole gamut of policies, not any of which seem to toe the line for what you would call traditional conservatism. It's really much more about a cult of personality. And I think, to his credit, he broke away from that.
You know, and Paul Ryan is still young enough that he still has a bright political future ahead of him if that's what he chooses to do, right?
Yeah, although he's, you know, he definitely has gone to the cloakroom and has been doing other things. And whether he has the stomach for getting back involved in politics or not, you know, we'll find out. He's not really behaving like someone who's running for office. He's behaving more like the retired statesman who's trying to steer the Republican Party back to its moorings.
Yeah, I mean, but to say, he clearly stated that in his own home state, that with the Republican convention coming,
yeah,
you would think that he would be playing a major role in that, and because of who he is, and I'm sure they'd offer him a place in that. But he, if Trump is anywhere around, he doesn't want to be around it.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's why I said, to his credit, I think he recognizes the danger to the sort of the general political system, the American political system, our democracy, for the trend and the trend in politics that that Trump represents, and the cult of the personality, which really is a backwards movement in terms of American public policy.
You know, Sandy, the fact that there are people who want to now separate themselves from Fox News, Rupert Murdoch, who helped make him, and others. But even in spite of that, Sandy, he's still on the horizon, right? I mean, he has to be reckoned with.
Well, when you know, the fact is, it was a cult of the personality, and to the extent that people still embrace that personality, that charisma, that apparent disdain, you know, one thing Trump did represent very clearly, and his brand very clearly represents, a disdain for traditional establishment. And there's a lot of people out there who are upset about things enough without really necessarily even doing the self-diagnosis to figure out what they're upset about, that are feeling that disdain for traditional establishment. And, you know, how funny it is that a billionaire would be the figurehead for an anti-establishment movement, but he is.
I was looking at some statistics, and I thought that they were saying that that Ron DeSantis, head-to-head, was so far ahead of Donald Trump. But some of the stats that I've been reading, Trump is even closing that gap.
Yeah, the fact is, when you look at head-to-head races, you know, it doesn't work out that well for DeSantis. I mean, DeSantis definitely has a head of steam. He does look like he's being considered as an option by a lot of people to Trump. But the fact is that Donald Trump, in a head-to-head with Biden, most recently in a poll, was going to beat Biden. And a head-to-head with DeSantis doesn't turn out that well either for DeSantis. So you're right, we're talking about it as if he's got this huge head of steam and he's got it in his bag, but it's not at all altogether.
Well,
clear.
Well, and be honest with you, the people who are saying he's got that head of steam are Republicans.
Man, most of them are backing DeSantis.
Right. We've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789 is the number. It's Mondays with my co-host Sandy Williams. We'll be right back.
As goes Wisconsin.
Mandela Barnes, future runs. Not yes, not no.
You know, I'm not closing the door, right? Like, taking a loss is not easy. And it's tough, too, when it's such a razor-thin margin. You know, I know some people who just get up right away and decide they want to run again.
Yeah.
I'm not there. But, you know, it's all timing.
Celebrating all things Wisconsin. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Weekdays 11 to 2 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
To protect her home and family in a disaster, Karen was willing to wade through water, mud, and insurance paperwork.
Yeah, I can do this.
You go, Karen! By simply understanding and updating what her insurance covers and doesn't cover now, she'll be better prepared no matter when disaster strikes. Learn other simple ways to protect your home and family before a natural disaster at ready.gov. That's ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
I asked what kind of family she wanted. She said, a family like yours.
Learn more about adopting a teen at AdoptUSKids.org. You can't imagine the reward. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast. Cloudy skies expected this afternoon, with daytime highs approaching 45. Winds out of the west, 20 to 25 miles per hour. Lows level off around 23. Tonight, overcast skies. Overcast again tomorrow. Snow likely. Highs level off around 26. 2 to 4 inches of snow tomorrow through tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on 98.3 FM and 1100 AM WISS. Right now, 38.
This is Civic Media for the Fox Valley.
Slow dancing earlier.
I thought about, I don't know why it popped into my head, man, but that's one of my
eighth grade
Unchained memories. Yeah. It's one of my favorite tunes of all time. The Righteous Brothers.
Unchained Melody?
Unchained Melody. All right. What did I say? Unchained
Memories. Unchained Memories is what got you back to Unchained Melody.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Inger Show. So this is what happens when the weather is like this. This is how the sun's not shining. So
no, it's definitely not shining today. Yeah. Holy cow.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Inger Show. You can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Mondays. That's Mondays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. Let's go to Tom from L.A. Hey, Tom, what's going on, man?
Guys, first, we the people ultimately are the government, and we must never forget that. Second, guys, I got to push back on this whole Paul Ryan fantasy. This is the guy whose policies wanted to get rid of Medicare, Social Security, and Medicaid, after he himself had benefited from Social Security when his father passed away. Also, this is a guy that's now a lobbyist. So he's out lobbying and making a ton of money off of his position that he had in Congress. So I don't have any type of feelings about
Tom,
him.
I hope I didn't sound like I had a love affair with Paul Ryan. I was just saying
it was sounding a little bit like better.
Well, come on, man. Yeah. I'm just talking about.
He's just a civilized guy. I mean, you know, I think it's appropriate if someone
policy
difference.
He's a cleaned up guy.
Okay.
I say he's a cleaned up guy, Sandy, but he's not a civilized guy. Come on, we can't say that when he's wanting to cut the social safety net.
Well, that has to do with a distinct policy disagreement we have. And, you know, there might be people who have a policy view of that. I have a progressive policy view that we ought to expand Medicare for all. There are those who would say that that's a deranged view. They're on the right. So, I mean, I think there is room in this country for straight ahead policy disagreements, and some people.
I do too, but I just don't want a wolf in sheep's clothing either.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm not talking about backing this guy or anything like it. I'm just saying it would be good if politics got back to straightforward policy disputes.
I agree with you on that.
I think people
in the general public, you really can get to that point. I just had some conservative people I was speaking to the other day, and you know, we talked about money and politics, and they both agreed that, you know, yeah, we need to get money out of politics completely. I'm like, let's find that common ground. Let's stop where the politicians, whether it's the left, the right, whether it's the unions, whether whoever it is, should be controlling the money.
And Tom, I do think that is the absolute appropriate starting point position for us to achieve unity, because without getting money out of politics, I don't think we'll ever be able to fundamentally discuss all kinds of public policies, including our international affairs policies, which are clearly heavily affected by the size of the military-industrial complex, which has a huge both direct and indirect policy impact through its money.
So
100%. And guys, I was thinking about this weekend. I want to know what you think. I want to know your opinion. But I wrote this down. So I put it's interesting because everything the Republicans do in their policies, we end up needing more government because they don't fund climate change. They don't fund infrastructure. They don't fund, these pandemics. And everything falls apart, and then you need more government. When you actually follow the FDR policies and the Eisenhower policies, you actually end up needing less government. The other day when I was driving down the road and it was raining like crazy here in California, which you probably will start up again, I'm thinking to myself, because they don't have any infrastructure that's going on federally, that's the reason why we need more government, because then the people have no one to turn to if they're all washed out. So another reason to vote for the Democratic Party or to people that are in the FDR mindset is because you really need less government. I wanted to know what you guys thought about that idea.
All right, Tom, thank you very much for the call. Sandy?
Well, you know, less government, but what we do need is more effective government. And I'm afraid that what the Republicans have done what the conservative impulse has done is strangle government of money, which has rendered government unable to deliver its services effectively, which is then like a self-fulfilling prophecy for the people who say that government's no good and we ought to strangle it of money, except those are the very people who might become victims of the, for instance, the FEMA failure in a disaster to be able to respond effectively to the disaster. So, you know, FEMA's maybe the most startling one because we only need it when we need it, but when we need it very badly and we need it to be effective. And FEMA has kind of over and over again, our disaster responses in the United States have failed fairly miserably in the recent periods. It isn't a function of who's in the, even though we'd like to blame whoever it is that's president, the ability of FEMA to react is the result of probably decades of training, decades of funding, decades of building up the funding necessary to have a reserve fund to supply it.
All right. We've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789 is the number. It's Monday. As Mondays with Sandy Williams, we'll be right back. What's wrong with you?
Civic Media for the Fox Valley.
ABC News, I'm Faith Abubing. Overnight, there were millions of Americans under tornado watches and warnings as the same storm system that hit California spread across the plains and upper Midwest. ABC's Maria Villarreal is in Norman, Oklahoma, with more.
The destructive winds battering the state, downing power lines and trees as residents of Oklahoma City were urged to take immediate shelter. In nearby Norman, Oklahoma, the damage is described as widespread, authorities confirming at least 12 injuries related to weather. In Shawnee, a large RV tipping over onto a home.
There are still more than 130,000 homes and businesses without power in Michigan after an ice storm that hit 5 days ago. The Supreme Court will hear arguments tomorrow over President Biden's student debt relief plan. The creator of Dilbert comic strip finding himself dropped from more newspapers after he described on his YouTube show that people who are black are part of a hate group. This is ABC News.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
This is Pat Kreitlow from Up North News Radio. Now that Dan Kelly is one step closer to getting back on the state Supreme Court, he's going to get a boost from a phony referendum that'll also be on the April ballot, thanks to legislative Republicans. Voters will be asked, should able-bodied, childless adults be required to look for work before getting any welfare benefits? But that's already in state law. They know that. But they also know the ballot question provides a convenient excuse for distractions, political ads, and angry radio hosts talking about welfare cheats, because they'd rather not talk about how Kelly on the court would mean the 1849 abortion ban stays in place and political maps can stay rigged. If more voters knew about that, they'd be less likely to support Kelly. So bring on the latest load of manufactured anger about an issue that isn't real. Catch Up North News Radio, weekday mornings, 6 to 8.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripes Cast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
The Devil's Advocates.
Aaron Mostovsky, who rioted at the U.S. Capitol on January 6th, was dressed as Captain Caveman. QAnon shaman meets Law and Order?
Right. I mean, he pulled it off a whole lot better than Aaron Mostovsky.
Well, let me read a quote from the judge in this case. I hope you'll leave some of this fantasy world behind. Mostovsky was sentenced to 8 months in prison.
Looking at the guy, he might be one who loses his mattress on the first day.
Breaking news.
Follow the Devil's Advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
This is Pat Kreitlow from Up North News Radio. On the air, online, or on demand, make it a point to catch the first word on Wisconsin news, sports, and more weekday mornings from 6 to 8 all across the stations of the Civic Media Radio Network.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which was audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Monday. That's Mondays with Sandy Williams. Let's go to CJ. CJ.
Yes, sir, Earl. Thank you for taking my call, you and Sandy. Once again, we're finding out we're more prosperous and more safe underneath the Republican administration.
So wait a minute. You just throw that out there, and somehow we're supposed to all agree with something that is not true.
Not true, huh, Earl? Well, we're almost on the verge of a nuclear war. We got less money in our pocket. We found out what teachers are actually not teaching and preaching. My. So
CJ, we're not talking about teachers. We're not talking about all this other foolishness that you're talking about. We are talking about the fact that there are Republicans who disagree with what is taking place in Ukraine and who think that the United States should not be involved in this. There are other Republicans who agree that the United States should. You talk as if there is a total agreement with Republicans on whether or not we should be in Ukraine or not. That's not the case. And so it's not a matter of what the Democrats did and what the Republicans agree to, because there are as many Republicans who don't want us even engaged in what's going on in Ukraine as there are who do. So whatever it is you are saying as if they're speaking in one voice is untrue.
Well, the mere fact that they want to keep an eye on the corruption that has been well known in Ukraine and watch the purse strings, I agree with that. But, you know, you were speaking of Paul Ryan before. That idiot believed that Russian.
Hey, did you think Paul Ryan? Let me ask you something. I bet you didn't think Paul Ryan was an idiot before Donald Trump came on the scene, because Paul Ryan was one of the most respected of the Republicans in leadership. That's just a fact.
Paul Ryan believed that crap that Pencil Neck preached, $25 million, 2.5-year lie that we come to find out was actually the Hillary Clinton campaign and the Democrats that paid for that dossier crap. So, Earl, come too, because now we find out social media had the FBI telling them to cover up the story. It's not about Hunter, it's about the big guy, as we walk into a World War III with China, because the big guy is being blackmailed. So you guys keep pulling the wool over your eyes.
Well, let me just, CJ, just to connect the dots. Let's just assume that you say that Biden is in the pocket of China. And so if he's in the pocket of China, why would he be acting so belligerently towards China that we're marching in the direction of World War III with China? Those dots, I mean, to me, you've just described a totally mutually contradictory set of theories that I don't get. You know, I'm not going to argue with you at this point. I'm not going to agree with you either about the assumption you have about whether Hunter Biden's business dealings have put Joe Biden into the pocket of China. But if he's in the pocket of China, he'd be cozying up to them, wouldn't he, instead of being belligerent towards them?
Belligerent towards them. They're going to be giving them weapons to Russia pretty soon. And this guy...
Wait a minute. If China gives weapons to Russia, let's pursue that one, CJ. Let's say that they do sell weapons to Russia. What should the United States be doing in reaction to that? Should we should be sanctioning, economically sanctioning China, because that's what they're talking about doing if they do that? Or should we be what? What should the action be that the United States would take to keep China from doing that?
Sandy, do you know the Biden family has made over 100?
Let's take all that as a given. I'm just trying to connect the dots of what comes out of your mouth. What is it that we should that the United States should be doing that they aren't suggesting they're going to do in the circumstance in which China sells weapons to Russia? I'm just talking about policy.
You based that question on the fact that he's been, you know, you don't care if he's the big guy. You don't care.
No, I don't care.
I do care uh, if there's unlawful conduct that's established through these investigations. I do care about that, but I'm just saying that what you're saying, you know, you want to connect a whole bunch of dots conspiratorially to suggest that whatever it is that your theory is about what's gone on and whether it's gone on or not, the jury's out in my mind. But you're trying to connect that dot to some foreign affairs conduct that is or is not occurring, and I'm just trying to focus on that. What should the United States be doing? I don't understand why you don't want to talk about actual policy, and all you want to talk about is theories of political behavior, and you want to talk about the political dynamics and the political theater instead of policy. And what we're trying to focus on this show is actual policy and not political theater.
Right. Well, policy-wise, peace through strength, trust but verified.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much for the call. Just cliches. Dan from Racine. Hey, Dan, how you doing? Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Man, CJ, take a breath. I hate to say that, but holy cow. Yeah, and I'm going to say this. Paul Ryan is the reason that I became a Democrat. And this is way before Trump ever came on the scene. I owned my own business. I begged Paul Ryan to help me get it started to get through the state red tape because it was such a difficult process. It was a Democrat that helped me, State Representative Bob Wirch. And then when I called Paul Ryan again so that I could expand my business out of the state into another state, I was having to turn down million-dollar contracts because all that I got from Paul Ryan was, oh, state rights, we don't help you do that. Well, I'm sorry. There should be a standard across this country when it comes to owning and operating a business on who you can hire, whether they're convicted felons, whatever. And I apologize because I'm disabled. I starting when I get upset and listening to CJ.
No, that's all right.
Got me going. When it comes to Ukraine, I didn't get to finish my point last week, and I apologize
for that
you hung up on me.
Go ahead.
I actually agree with both of you, and I apologize to that woman that was Russian saying that Putin wasn't smart. I don't want her to think that I was meaning that in any way, shape, or form.
No, man, just...
I actually think he's probably the smartest guy around him right now, and the only reason that this hasn't gone nuclear. With that said, it is not worth anybody's blood. And I think that people also are forgetting the fact that the world has not recovered from COVID, our economy. The chip shortage, we haven't recovered from that. And then you add this on top of that and all these draconian sanctions that our president, who I voted for and I believed in, is hurting not only the Russian economy, but every economy. If Russia isn't strong in their economy and China is not strong in their economy, the United States is going to suffer more than anybody at the end of the day because we import a lot of stuff. Europe is going to suffer at the end of the day. And if anybody thinks come June and July that Europe in general is not going to be buying oil and natural gas and refined fuels from Russia, they are sorely mistaken because they have to take care of their own people first. We all need to look in the mirror and understand that we are all responsible for what is happening right now.
All right.
We really, truly
have
to look.
All right,
Dan,
thank you very much for the call. Sandy, you want to respond to anything?
Well, I do, Dan. You know, thanks for the call. I know that my views on this are a distinct minority, and I thought all weekend I wanted to send out an apology to Sherm in Racine, who thought I was maybe condescending. I didn't certainly intend to be. And the intent on this show is to treat everyone with respect who calls in and to respect views, and I certainly respect Sherm's views. So I hope he's listening, and I mean it. But what is important, and Dan, I think you represent someone who's calling in. The people who think like Dan and I and maybe Earl do are, I think we are a minority, and I think it's because we all basically have avoided discussing or even thinking about our foreign affairs, and we take our instructions from our political leaders, and foreign affairs is created in sort of in the dark. So we decide, you know, who our enemies are. And 15 years ago, China was not our enemy, and now, dangerously, we are spending lots of time politically and analytically on TV, the news media, all sorts of venues are discussing China as if they are our enemy. And even though the administration has gone to pains to say, look, we are, China is not our enemy, and we are not trying to contain China, we're not entering into a phase of a Cold War with China, the rhetoric that they're using and the political visits to Taiwan and a lot of what we're doing is extremely aggressive sounding. It's sounding like, and even though we think we're talking about how we will react to Chinese aggression, what we're really doing is making the possibility of Chinese aggression much more likely. Because the Taiwan situation, I don't think there's been any indications, and there weren't any in like 2010, that China was on the eve of invading Taiwan. But ever since in 2019, the Taiwanese government began to talk about separatism, we've been, for the last 10 or 15 years, arming Taiwan to the teeth. We now have troops in Taiwan training them. We are acting as if we are expecting and are preparing for an invasion by China into Taiwan, and we're trying to give Taiwan the capacity to essentially declare its independence from China. Those words are important, declare its independence, because we know and we have recognized that Taiwan is a part of China. It's a distinct and maybe unique part of China that has been governed differently than mainland China for a whole number of years, but it is Chinese.
You know, Sandy, the fact that the American people are being led to believe that we should be going to war to protect Taiwan is just the fact that the American people don't know. And so they're being fed this information that China is this major threat to us and we need to be prepared. If they do something to Taiwan, we're ready to move on that. And many of the American people haven't thought this through at all. It's the fact that they're China, and now China is our enemy. They've been led to believe that these people are our enemy. Well, and Sandy, I have to go back to not so long ago, and we're still trading partners. And the fact that this is being pushed and sold to the American people, that this has to occur, and that we are responsible for Taiwan, is the part that I'm going to continue to push back. We are not responsible for what happens to Taiwan. Right?
Right. I mean, come on. Right. And we aren't responsible. I mean, I think what we have to do is figure out what our international policy is. And right now, our international policy has become one of believing that we can dictate essentially what the forms of government are across the world for all sorts of places, because we have countries that we don't accept their form of government, and therefore we are hostile to them. That's our excuse for opposing China right now, is their form of government, which incidentally is far more moderate than it was 25 or 30 years ago.
Sandy, we got to go to a break, but the inherent danger in this is China has seen a history of our nation militarily in some areas, and they don't trust us. And in some instances, I can understand why we're not being trusted. And that doesn't mean I'm anti-American. Listen, got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be back. I mean, Sandy.
Wake up and text. Text and eat. Mm-mm. Text and meet up with a friend you haven't seen in forever.
Hi.
Oh, hey.
Text and complain that they're on their phone the whole time. Text and listen to them complain that you're on your phone the whole time. Text and whatever. But when you get behind the wheel, give your phone to a passenger, put it in the glove box. Just don't text and drive. Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council. Wake up and text. Text and eat. Mm-mm. Text and meet up with a friend you haven't seen in forever.
Hi.
Oh, hey.
Text and complain that they're on their phone the whole time. Text and listen to them complain that you're on your phone the whole time.
text and whatever. But when you get behind the wheel, give your phone to a passenger, put it in the glove box. Just don't text and drive. Visit stoptextsstoprex.org. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
My early Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard to take.
But it gave my mom and me more time to plan, together.
Talk to your family about seeing a doctor. Go to alz.org/time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Here's your updated forecast. Cloudy skies expected this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 45. Winds out of the west, 20 to 25 miles per hour. Lows level off around 23. Tonight, overcast skies. Overcast again tomorrow. Snow likely. Highs level off around 26. 2 to 4 inches of snow tomorrow through tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on 98.3 FM and 1100 AM WISS. Right now, 38.
Push our button, and we might just push yours. Civic Media.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. You know, Sandy, whether the American people or our listening audience, you know, I don't do radio for entertainment. I really don't. And I know you and I on the same page. This is not about entertainment. It's about getting people to wake up and see what's going on in this country that we both love. And right now, this is a dangerous, dangerous conversation that is happening inside of our nation. But I think, Sandy, the conversation is being had not by the citizens. The citizenry is not on top of what is taking place.
Well, except our citizenry is, we're a very patriotic country. And so if we receive our instruction on what it is that we need to believe and express and support as a litmus for our patriotism, it's basically our foreign policy plays a big part of that. And so when our foreign policy is formulated, when we are sort of receive our instruction, whether it's direct or subliminal based on the conversation that's ongoing or the press releases from the White House or what have you, that China is our enemy, it becomes our patriotic duty to believe and to essentially beat our breast about and support the notion that China is our enemy. And the more we talk about that, of course, like I've said for months and years, is that the more we describe an enemy, the more they, in fact, are our enemy. And, you know, the Cold War was an ideological, at its roots, ideological fight about the spread of world communism and the fear of that. And our two main enemies during the Cold War were Communist China and Communist USSR. Well, Russia is not a communist country anymore. It's an autocratic form of parliamentary government. China is a hybrid form of communism that is really no more communist than Vietnam. Vietnam, you know, we went to war on the domino theory, I guess. We never really understood why we went to war in Vietnam. But now Vietnam is an ally. We are putting a consortium together to be a South Pacific a counterfoil to China, and one of the main members of that is Vietnam. So we're in bed with Vietnam. We're comfortable with that communist government, and we are apparently very uncomfortable with the Chinese government. China is a large and powerful economic entity, and large, powerful economic entities tend to have regional areas of influence that they want to exercise. We, the United States, have a long expressed our regional area of influence, going all the way back to the Monroe Doctrine, where we declared the whole Western Hemisphere to be an area of U.S. regional influence and power. And we have exercised it. And now our regional hegemony basically extends worldwide. We are willing to flex our muscle and to carry out military battles around the world, Afghanistan, Iraq, the Balkans, you name it. We'll go to war there, and we aren't going to war there to maintain the structural or political integrity or safety of the United States. We're going there based on our concept of a world order, which is different.
You know, Sandy, in talking about the fact that the American people, patriots and patriotic, and so they're willing to go along. You know, we've got this isolation thing with Iran. And so the American people all jump on board. They agree the Iranians are bad people. So they're our enemies. We've got it with North Korea. North Koreans are bad people. The American people don't question anything about why we have this hate for Iran. But we're all on the same page. We agree that Iran is some brutal.
I think our Iranian leaders at some point have spoken with extreme hostility and saber rattling towards Israel. And I think that has played a big role in it. But incidentally, a fair number of other Arab countries have done similar kinds of sword rattling over the years. And the United States itself does sword rattling. It doesn't mean so.
So my thing has always been the sword rattling with Iran towards Israel. You know, Israel is the big boys. They can take care of themselves. And, you know, and they have been able to do that for a long time. But my point is that made many American people accept the fact that Iran is our enemy. And it's okay to dislike and hate Iranians because, as you stated, they're a threat to Israel. But, again, we are not giving it any independent thought ourselves of and looking into why. Same thing with now China. The American people need to look themselves and do a little research themselves before we just... And Iran and Korea are small nations. Keep forgetting, you want to make an enemy of a nation as big and powerful as China and think that they're going to fold under what the United States is maybe able to make Iran and somebody else fold under. That's not the case.
Well, for instance, you know, we are expressing lots of verbal hostility towards China, and China, in response to that, will express similar kinds of verbal hostility towards us. But everyone does understand that there's absolutely zero likelihood of a military incursion into the United States, and that there's no notion that anyone would have the stomach, the logistical capacity, the capability. It's totally beyond the ken of factual possibility that there would be an attack on the United States. But the United States clearly has a regional view of the area that it needs to have that will be countries that are not only friendly to the United States but supportive of it. Mexico sits at our south border. We have sort of a cherry relationship with Mexico. Actually, Mexico was very slow to impose sanctions on Russia. I'm not sure they have imposed sanctions yet on Russia in terms of limiting travel and a number of other things. And so what would we do if China opened its arms to, I mean, if Mexico opened its arms to China and said, you're welcome to come to our country, you're welcome to have a military base here, we'd like to buy our munitions from you, you have wonderful military equipment that you will sell to us at a cheaper cost. And so they began to embrace a very tight and cozy relationship with China. I'm confident that the United States would not sit on its hands and watch that happen. And yet China is a sovereign nation and is in many respects exactly the same circumstances as Ukraine.
All right, we've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789 is the number. It's Monday. It's Mondays with Sandy Williams. We'll be right back.
If a natural disaster comes knocking, how prepared is your family? You can't just close the door on earthquakes, floods, or hurricanes and hope they go away. That's why it's important to make a plan now. Ready.gov/plan has the tools and tips you need to prepare your family for an emergency. So if disaster shows up at your doorstep, you'll be ready. Visit ready.gov/plan and make a plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Phones, social media, you've kept up with the times. If you can do that, you can definitely save for retirement. Go to aceyourretirement.org and in just 3 minutes, you'll get free tips to help boost your retirement savings. That's aceyourretirement.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
You're listening to WISS 1100 AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh, and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay.